Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
Arguably the most famous sentence in wrestling history, let's get ready to do something dirty that you'll only see in a porno. God, we love the Attitude Era. It is McSwiggin here, Chris, Swiggy Fresh, alongside the icon who's calling in with us today. Yeah, he is here. He went to a basketball game tonight. But he is with us. Jason's going to be calling in momentarily. Tonight, special night, due to prior obligations and life complications, could not make it on Monday. But we are here in a special Wednesday night edition, just like Raw used to do, you know, the Saturday night Raws. Well, we got the Wednesday night off the ropes. Very, very special edition here. A little shorter, only 90 minutes. We do have a guest coming on with us tonight. As usual, we're booked all the way through almost this time next year, it seems like. So before we talk Elimination Chamber and before we talk a little bit about this having the potential to be the best WrestleMania we've had in years due to the new era and the new storylines, and while we wait for Jason to call us up from the Big Apple, New York City, go ahead and just sort of lay out for us who exactly is coming on tonight and why he's important.
Okay, we have the Cobra King coming on with us. That is his wrestling name. He has been in indie wrestling for several years. He has been a multi-time champion in several different organizations that he's going to talk to us about. And this guy is an ass kicker. And he's a fan of the Icon as well.
Wait, he's a fan of the Icon, so he knows who the Icon is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. He sure does.
And just let us know, because I mean everybody should know who you are, but just in case they don't, how does he know who you are? Like, what's your affiliation with this guy?
Well, what happened is happened to find me on Facebook with my Icon shirt, and he sent me a friend's request. He sent me a friend's request, and then he said, hey, you know, I wrestled for this company, and I wrestled for this company, and I wrestled for this company. And, you know, you talk about this off-the-rope show, Overtime.News, and how can I be part of that? I'd like to be on that. And I said, well, sure. And we booked it up, and, you know, and so he's going to be on with us. He's going to tell. He is a little under the weather tonight. I will say that. So
we won't keep him very long. I mean, again, it's a shorter show than normal. I'm doing three things at once here in the studio and music, and I'm doing a bunch of different things here at the radio. So I've got a lot of music. So I do apologize to the listeners, by the way. If you do hear music in the background, I am at the radio station. I'm in the music part tonight as well, because I'm not used to doing this. On Wednesday, so if you do hear music in the background briefly, it's just because I'm changing songs or putting rotation stuff in, so bear with me on that. But yeah, it's one of those things where we love having these underground guys on. We love having these guys who have been in the business, have passion for the business, and have a different viewpoint than necessarily what the WWE has. or have had different experiences than the big-time guys. I mean, sure, you know, people are going to look at us and say, oh, well, you're not having Stone Cold on, you're not having Triple H on, you're not having The Rock on. Well, no. Those guys don't even go on commercial radio stations. What we're having is the purebred wrestling. Or where we're having guys who are in the business right now who wrestle for the love of wrestling. And, you know, like our slogan, for wrestling fans everywhere. That's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we do. And we love it. We love wrestling. We love talking to people. I love radio. Icon just loves life. So that's what we're doing. But let me ask you this. I think
there
we got Jason on the line here. Do I?
There is one thing I want to say about that, though, about independent wrestling.
About what? About the independent
now,
circuit?
The
yeah,
is,
hit me.
Okay, well, here's the thing about indie wrestling. Now, there's many towns and cities and places that the WWE doesn't go to anymore, okay? But now it's starting to become a more territorial outlook again, It's becoming a more territorial horizon. There's all these independent wrestling factions that are in North Dakota, Minnesota, New York, Florida, Colorado, Utah, Montana, you name it, they're all over. Wrestling is starting to become a territorial horizon. WWE, yes, that's the place to be. We all know that. But the thing is, there's places WWE won't even go to.
But they're getting territorial too. You know, they got a whole network and they're looking for content, so they're trying to get a lot of indie guys now. So a lot of indie guys are keeping their options open.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to back in the day though, guys? Like I said, I was watching the WWE Network, watching episodes from 96 all the way through. I think I'm like midway through 06 right now. I watched like 10 years in like 2 months. But my thing is they used to go to like, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska and, you know, Davenport, Iowa and, you know, East Bumfuck, you know, Arkansas. They used to go to all these places that you would hear and they'd be like, oh, okay. You know, and they'd have arenas that had like 10,000 people or something like that. And then every once in a while they'd hit Madison Square Garden. They'd hit the Georgia Dome. They'd hit wherever for Raw. And, you know, you'd have your big venues. You know, then you had the Kemper Arena. You had the Gund in Cleveland. You had, you know, your staple venues. But then, you know, in between you had Penn State University, Texas Tech University. You had different ones.
Hey.
And now it seems like WWE is in the same places, the same five places every week, it seems like, almost. Now, I understand it's a bigger production. They have new stage. They want bigger crowds. It's more commercialized. But if I were somebody who, let's say I were a kid and I wanted to go to Raw, okay, and I lived out in the Midwest, out in the cornfields, and the closest Raw to me was an 8, 9, 10-hour drive, and my parents were like, oh, well, you know, we're not going to go out there. You know, just watch it on TV. It's free, you know. I would quickly get disinterested in it because I wouldn't have the ability to see it live. Like even for me as a kid living in upstate New York, I chose the Cowboys as my team because I could watch them on TV. The Giants always played too far away to go to as a kid. My parents weren't Giants fans, but I was always like, oh, I have no professional sports up here. Albany, New York has nothing. They have minor league, but they have no professional sports. It's the same kind of a thing. Like if I were a kid, I'd be like, how come they never come here? You know? And so
good point.
My main thing is what I love about the underground is that you can still go to almost any smaller city or bigger town in the country and find some sort of MMA, some sort of professional wrestling, some sort of something promotion in these towns that it's still, you know, it's still good wrestling. Sure, they don't have the commercialized storylines. People aren't tweeting about them. They don't have the big fancy stages. I mean, shit, half of them are in high school gymnasiums. But it's still action you get to see that WWE denies you of. And that's sort of what I like about the underground segment.
Right. And there's one other thing I was going to mention, you know, for those that were trying to tune in on Monday, of course, you know, we didn't have our show, unfortunately. What did you say, Pat? Trials and tribulations, or whatever the hell you say? What is your saying?
He's not listening.
Okay. Anyway, did I lose you guys or what?
No, I'm here. Anyway, I'm here. I thought you were talking to Chris.
Well, I was, but he's not talking to me. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm a huge movie fan, and I know there's only a couple of promotions that just started popping up around by me now, around like New Jersey and up, not too far upstate New York. So I'm just gonna keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm going to have some of those independent places on with us. Now, we were supposed to have Jesse Hernandez on with us on Monday, and because we weren't able to do the show on Monday, I got him rescheduled for February 27th.
Okay.
He'll be on with us. Next week, we have Tony DiNucci of the AWF. He's going to be talking to us, and I'm going to ask him if I could step in the ring for him. But I'll tell you what, I want to let everybody know that we have some big-name people coming up here. April 10th, 2017, we have Gilbert. Now, he was on Monday Night Raw Monday night. He's going to be on the show with us. We have Julie Hart, the ex-wife of Bret the Hitman Hart. She's going to be on with us. Larry Zbysko, I'm going to send him a check. He's going to be on with us. We have some other big names. We have BDP coming. We have Sonny Ono coming in June. I have guests booked all the way up for our show until the end of until the beginning of next year.
So
except for Christmas, because we're not doing a show then.
DDP coming. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
That's right.
But we'll put the yoga up. We'll put his promotions for his brand and all that up as well. We'll take care of that. But, guys, we do have a shorter show today.
Oh, and don't forget about Savio Vega, too.
Yep, Savio. And didn't you say Sabu as well?
Yeah, I got to send him a check. He'll be on with us. And then Animal of Legion of Doom will be on with us in July. And then we have all these great independent wrestlers coming on with us. You know, the thing is, since I've been starting with the show, as a matter of fact, that's going to be a trivia question to win a prize. If someone can guess and tweet one of us, what was the first show that I appeared on? Not that when I became full-time, but what was the first show I appeared on? That is a trivia question. And whoever gets that right, I'm going to send them off. I will get you an autographed copy of Heartstrings signed by Julie Hart. If you can guess that, if you know the answer to that question.
Nice. Okay. Fair
enough. I can do that.
Guys, we do. That's true. We do have a little bit shorter of a show tonight, just simply because, mostly because I'm working and I'm doing double duty here. I'm in the music studio as well as this studio, so I'm bouncing back and forth between the two studios. So, but the thing is that. I did not on the radio, no. No.
Okay.
It's mostly classic rock and stuff like that. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those stations. But it's one of those things, guys, where, first of all, we're getting merchandise. I worked out a deal, but that's off-the-air stuff. I'll tell you guys a little bit more about that. But the last place kind of screwed us over a little bit, so to get free commercials out of it. So we won't go into that. But anyway, so here's the thing. SmackDown has been interesting.
The number one show.
Raw has been interesting. But
yeah, Raw's heating up.
No one hasn't.
Yeah, seeing Bray Wyatt win the belt. I felt good for him because of all of the – well, I know. I'm saying – but my point here is that him winning, holding it, through the elimination chamber, holding it last week and winning, despite the Luke Harper attack and all that, do we feel like this, you know, we're not going to see Cena and Orton chapter 13 or whatever the hell it is. They're going to see Bray Wyatt. Yeah, I know, right?
We're going to see
Bray Wyatt in the main event, okay? And we're going to see Randy Orton. Which I still
no,
am kind of like, all right, it's Orton. He's had his time. Well, as of now, we are.
Okay? I have a
theory. But is this shaping up?
That.
Well, is
I'll
this shaping
what.
Up, despite what happens? We'll go into the theory, but is this shaping up to possibly be one of the better WrestleManias we've had in the last half decade?
I totally agree. I totally think so. Like, I remember when Dustin was complaining about the state of wrestling, and I told you guys the payoff is coming. Just think about it. We have Bray Wyatt in the main event as champion. No one saw that coming 6 months ago.
Well, you know,
I think we're heading to a triple threat, and it's not going to be seen in that match either. I think we're hitting a Bray Wyatt family triple threat main event championship match. I think Luke finds his way in, because next Tuesday they're having a battle royal to determine the number one contender for Mania. And I think Luke is going to win that, and that's going to force Randy to get back in, you know, reclaim his spot as the number one contender.
Well, you know, if you guys watched SmackDown last night, I don't know if you did or not, but at the end after...
Yeah, I actually did. I don't usually get a chance to catch it, but I caught it.
Okay, after Bray Wyatt won the match last night, Randy Orton came out, okay? And he said that he will not fight his family. He will not fight his blood. He said that. Now, whether that's just Randy Orton being Randy Orton to come in and screw him over, I don't know. I don't think so. Because, I mean, here's the deal. You put Randy Orton with the Wyatt family. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to break him up like you did the Shield? I mean, that just doesn't work. That doesn't make any sense. You know?
No, you're going to have the triple threat like the Shield was supposed to have a couple of years ago. But you're going to have it with the Wyatt family. Because I'm talking smack. I don't know if you guys caught talking smack last night. Daniel Bryan was saying, like, well, since Randy Orton doesn't want to fight, we're going to have a battle royal next week to determine the number one contender. And that's where I feel like they're going to find a way to make Luke Harper get in there. They're not going to make Cena again because it's too, you know, that's not going to happen. I can't see anybody else. And it looks like Baron Corbin's feuding with Dean Ambrose, which is an interesting feud right there in itself as well. So, SmackDown and Raw are really stepping it up now.
Hey, Jason, I don't know if you know, you're kind of muffled. I don't know if it's just me hearing that or whatever, but you're kind of muffled.
No. I had it on speaker, and I'm bouncing between studios, so it's probably hearing it get knocked around.
Okay.
You know.
I think we're definitely heading to a triple threat, and it's going to be the Wyatt triple threat that we expected the Shield to have many years ago.
Do fans only want to see that though? That is the question.
Well, I think if you think about it, if you go all the way back to Survivor Series, the Wyatts have been very interesting on SmackDown, from winning that, you know, that cross promotion match, and to everything that's been going on. This is Randy's best work in a couple of years. Like, I didn't see this coming, especially the way they made him lose to look at Brock Lesnar. So I'm really intrigued about what's going on right now in the state of wrestling in the WWE.
Well, you know, I like their direction. It's something that we haven't seen before. But it brings me back to a point. Last week, before the Elimination Chamber, were we not talking about the fact that Bray Wyatt was going to win the championship? Did we not talk about that on this show?
Absolutely.
We did. And what does that tell you? They have writers listening to our show. They're taking our ideas. Why? Because they think it's cute. Now, should we get residuals for that? Of course we should. Because we're better writers than anybody they got. They should be hiring us, not whoever clowns they got right now. Of course, that's my ego talking. And everybody knows that the Icon's got the biggest ego this side of the Pecos. But still, it's true. We talked about it. We said it. They stole our ideas. And it just makes sense.
Rumor has it, though, that also, after Mania, Mick Foley's no longer going to be general manager either.
That was going to be my next thing I'm starting to see play out. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but do you think Triple H is forming, like, a new authority with Kevin Owens and possibly Samoa Joe being his henchmen?
Oh, cripes. Let's hope not.
I mean, just think about it, because I thought Triple H kind of tipped his hand when he went to go speak to Kevin Owens, and he told Joe, "Oh, I don't need to speak to you right now."
And the next thing you know, we saw what happened at the Festival of Friendship.
Well, did you guys think that it was sort of like bland and boring and ugh to have Samoa Joe's first official match be against Roman Reigns? Was that kind of like, all right, here we go?
Typical.
Yes. But, you know, it's amazing, though, when when that match started, it's amazing to me how many people actually got behind Roman Reigns on that. You know, there was actually people cheering for him.
I mean, he did take off Seth Rollins.
Yeah, but I also feel like traditional wrestling fans, you know, are still going to cheer for the heel. I mean, when Samoa Joe first came out, yeah, I mean, the roof blew off the place. But then after what happened, you know, traditional wrestling fans are almost – it's almost bred in their DNA to boo the heel, even if it's a guy that they kind of like. You know, like, for instance, I loved Stone Cold as a kid. I loved Stone Cold as a kid when he turned his back during the Alliance period and joined the Alliance at the Invasion pay-per-view. I was like, oh, this fucking guy. You know, like I hated Stone Cold. I was like, oh, get him off my TV. He sucks. And then, obviously, you know, when he came back in 02 and was a good guy again, I was like, oh, great, Stone Cold's back. You know, so I felt a certain way because when you're painted as a heel, it's just genetically bred into you to boo.
Well, the deal is, now, with Samoa Joe being a heel – and being in Triple H's back pocket, do we really want to see this? I mean, do we really want to see the new up-and-comer guy kiss Triple H's ass to get ahead in the business? You know, like, Triple H slept his way to the top. He won't admit it, but he did. You know, I mean, it's just that way. Why does
I mean, we kind of do.
I do want to see Samoa Joe be a destroyer, because if you think about it, Brock, you know, you guys know Brock announced he's definitely done with UFC, so he's going to be around for a little bit longer. You're going to want to see some new opponents for Brock, and I want to see some, you know, I want to see some monsters being built again. I want to see the Strowmans. I want to see the Samoa Joes. I want to see the Baron Corbin, somebody who could possibly have a great match with Brock down the line. Mm-hmm. So,
well, do you think it was a ballsy move? Do you think it was a ballsy move to take a TNA fan favorite who had almost a cult following and make him instantly a heel?
It was, because I thought he was going to come in as a face, but it's actually a bigger impact being a heel, so I thought it was really ballsy about him.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with you guys very often, but this is one thing, you know, I've been waiting to see Samoa Joe. Yes, no, there's no question about it, but it's like the point I'm trying to make. Does the guy always come in and have to side with Triple H? I mean, do we always need to see this? I mean, look what happened with Seth Rollins. He sided with Triple H.
Yeah.
Then he started to get over.
Well, yeah. True.
I think Seth is
I mean, I feel
Seth
like. Yeah. Well.
I
feel like it's worth the wait.
A better heel. Yeah.
He is a better heel. But I think Samoa Joe was worth the wait. I didn't think so at first, but I think it's worth the wait now. Simply because of, you know, if this well, true, but this is only 4 shows a month. Okay? If this were 8 shows a month, if this were what it was back in the 90s where, well, actually SmackDown didn't start till 99. So if this is what it was back in the, you know, early 2000s before the brand split, where they were fighting on Raw and on SmackDown, and you had 2 shows a week with the same superstars, I think they would have developed the story a little quicker and brought him up a lot sooner. But the fact there's only 1 show a month and it was a slowly developing storyline anyway, I think this was the only thing that they could do with it. Because, because, you know, this Triple H Seth Rollins thing, it had to come to a head at some point. And I think the way that they did it, they played it off well. I don't give the creative team that much credit recently, but I think they played it off well.
Because the creative team is us. They're listening to us.
I don't know.
Do you think I need a check?
What I'm going to do for you guys is I don't have it with me now, but on Monday, I'm going to play a clip for you guys of Triple H talking about CM Punk.
Okay.
I want you guys to tell me. I want you guys to tell me if it's BS or if it's a legit, legit thing. Because there's some stuff he says about CM Punk that completely opposite of what CM Punk said. But the way that Triple H says it, it doesn't sound like it was rehearsed and scripted. It sounds like off the cuff and sincere. So I want you guys to tell me. But that's for next week because I'm not home tonight to play it. But
okay.
You said 11:05. Guest is calling in, like that?
Yeah, 10:05 his time and my time.
Well,
right?
10:05 your time, 11:05 my time. But okay.
Right. Well, yeah, I know what you mean. But
yeah. So then let me ask this then, okay? At WrestleMania, what do you guys feel is sort of going to be the signature match? Is it going to come from Raw, or is it going to come from SmackDown?
It's going to come from SmackDown.
I don't know. I think
what
the signature match.
And here's why
Jason,
I say that.
What do you think it is?
Okay, go ahead, Jason.
I think it's going to be Roman Reigns Undertaker. It's going to be the signature match. That might be the passing the torch.
Roman Reigns and the
okay.
Undertaker?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much penciled in for WrestleMania.
Wait, but passing the torch. When you say passing the torch, do you mean that Roman Reigns is going to be the second guy to defeat Undertaker at Mania?
He's going to be the second guy to defeat him. He's going to be the first face to defeat him. And it's going to be like that passing the torch of like, okay, this is your yard now. You know, you run the asylum. I think it's going to be something like that.
Yeah, but we don't want to see Undertaker lose at WrestleMania again. That was the whole point. That was the whole deal with
especially
Lesnar
the Roman Reigns. If they booed Lesnar, they didn't really boo Lesnar. They was more in shock. But if people were pissed about Lesnar, can you imagine the boo fest that's going to happen at WrestleMania if Reigns beats him? Oh my God!
And I don't
faith
think Vince
or not,
will have a problem
I mean,
with it. I don't think Vince will have a problem with it. He'll love it.
Do you think Taker will have a problem with it though? Undertaker was the one who suggested Brock Lesnar beat him.
Yeah, I don't think he
that's
have a problem
true.
With it.
I don't know. Confusing.
But I do think that the better championship match will be on SmackDown because clearly they're gonna take the belt off of Kevin Owens and give it to Goldberg. We know that match is gonna be for the Universal title. And I don't know how I feel about that. You know, two part-timers wrestling for the, you know, Raw's number one belt.
Well, yeah, but remember, they had Lesnar have it for a while as a part-timer.
But then again, Lesnar's more like a super part-timer. He's there. He's around. He comes. We know he's around, and he pops up when he has to. So I won't really consider Lesnar a part-timer.
Well, then, I mean, who's gonna take the belt? I mean, especially with making Goldberg look like the complete powerhouse that made him look like, beating Lesnar in, what, 30 seconds or whatever it is. Who's going to possibly take this belt off of Goldberg then?
It's going to be Lesnar. I'm pretty sure Lesnar's going to have to even win sooner or later.
Oh, man. Huh. Hold on, guys. I got to step into the other studio for a commercial break. You guys discuss this, and we'll have the guests. Hang on a second.
All right. Hey, Jason.
What's up?
Real quick here, and then the other thing I was going to mention since I didn't get to finish it, you know, on Monday we were supposed to have Jesse Hernandez from the EWF, but since we had to switch the show to today, he's going to be on with us on the 27th instead, him and his champion. So
they'll be
on
with us.
So he'll be on with us. Now, I want to talk about and I think it was you that kind of shed light on this, that the Canadian POSs were going to split up.
Yes.
And you liked the way that they did that?
I loved it. I thought it was better than what I originally thought, which I originally thought would have been after Fastlane, after Owens lost the belt. But this was even better because now you have Kevin Owens looking credible now. He looks like a legit badass champion. He just demolished Jericho. We've never seen Jericho take a beating like that. So it kind of gives you like, well, maybe he could probably, convert, even though he's not. And now you're going to have Jericho away for a while, probably reappear at Fastlane, and, they're going to have their match at WrestleMania. and I guess it's going to be for Jericho's belt, or maybe, you know, who knows. But this is good. This is good. I like how they did it. They set it up this way because he knew what was going to happen.
Well, you know, I thought they were going to keep those guys together at least until WrestleMania. But
oh no, there's money in having those two guys fight. That's going to be a good match.
Yeah. Yeah, two guys from Winnipeg going at it. Yeah, that's, you know, I like to see that. If I want to see that, I'll go to a Redhawks game against the Goldeyes, you know. You know.
But I must admit, Raw was pretty incredible today, this week. I was not expecting Raw to be that good.
But, you know, the other thing, it's like, you know, as you know, Jason, and as our fans know, every week I write a blog for Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, okay? And if you aren't reading it, why are you not reading it? That's the first question.
Well, they didn't read the last couple because I've been busy and haven't posted them to the website. But, yeah, I'm getting on that. I'll do that tonight. So they'll be up there.
Okay. But anyway, I'm not going to give away my full blog because I want people to read it. But at the end of Raw, I gave Raw a grade of F-. And I
F
gave
minus.
SmackDown, I gave SmackDown a grade of A+.
Is that even possible?
SmackDown has taken Raw back over. Raw sucked.
Well, here's
guys.
My thing. I gave SmackDown a good grade simply because of the pants that Alexa Bliss was wearing. I mean, there was a lot of camel toe, and I was very happy, but. You know, you can just tell that you're – I know that sounded really sexist, but it was true. You can tell that it's a new era. She was wearing leggings or yoga pants, shit you'd see a girl wear in the mall, okay? She's not coming out there with wrestling tights or in jeans like the girls back in the day used to. She's wearing something that you can relate to like a young, hot girl walking through the mall would have on.
Well,
so
okay.
That's why I was kind of like, oh, all right, look at this. This is pretty dope. So, you know, to me, it's just SmackDown is just – I'm just so used to watching Raw. I watch SmackDown now, and, I mean, to me, guys, it's – I don't want to say it because I'm going to sound like an idiot because of everybody raving about SmackDown the way that they've been raving about SmackDown, but I just feel like it's the subpar show in terms of – the roster. I don't feel like it's a subpar show in terms of the action. I definitely think that they have a better commentary crew, you know, and all that. But I just feel like they lack the superstar power that Raw does, and the fact that Raw is not using that star power to the best of their abilities is what's disappointing to me about Raw. But I just watch SmackDown. I just don't feel that same starstruckness that I feel when I watch Raw. I just something in me just feels like Raw is still the bigger show. So I don't know what it is, but that's maybe I don't have as much of an open mind. I mean, I'm not an NXT fan either, so who knows?
Not either.
Maybe it's because maybe it's because I've always liked Raw better. You know, even when SmackDown was first created, I I'm blaming JR for this because when I was a kid, I never watched SmackDown. Even in the heart of the of the McMahon-Helmsley regime, even in the heart of the McMahon-Helmsley regime, even in the heart of the two-man power trip, even when the superstars were fighting on both shows, I watched it if it was a storyline I was super interested in, but I watched Raw for JR, and Michael Cole and Taz just, you know? And SmackDown, to me, has always had, even their top star has been subpar compared to Raw. And it's just a mindset I've been in, and it just has not allowed me to open up. So I watch SmackDown now, and I'm like, yeah, okay, that was cool. But I'm not blown away by anything SmackDown's doing. Unfortunately, I mean, I want to be, but I'm just not.
Yeah, but Edge was on SmackDown, though.
I know. That's why I watched it, if I did.
Well, geez.
Was for Edge. But here's the thing. That wasn't when I became the Edgehead. I became the Edgehead after 06 when he won in Albany, New York, when he won the title for the first time and was a Raw superstar, the rated R superstar. That's the Edge I'm talking about. I was, okay, yeah, I like Edge. Okay, when he was in the Brood, when he was the good guy, when he used to wear those blue pants with those weird semicolon-looking things. yeah, okay, I was cool with Edge, but it wasn't like, oh my God, this is awesome, until he became the Rated R Superstar in beginning of 06. That was the Edge that I'm obsessed with, guys. But hang on, I'm gonna step aside 1 second. I think we got our guest on. Hang on.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. While we're waiting for our guest here, I'm gonna interrupt.
All right. Yes. Sorry about that. Yeah. Just doing this double duty, man. We're working in the radio station, jumping between the two. It's crazy.
I'm gonna go ahead and introduce him.
Well, hold on. Let me just check the button here. Boom. Okay. On. Icon. Do your thing.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, coming out of the
boys
green room and down the aisle. To join us on Off the Ropes here on Overtime.News Live. He is the Double K. He is Cobra King, and he is on right now. Hey, Cobra.
Yeah, definitely.
If only we really had a green
room. Nice to be here. Nice to join in and listen to the cast of Overtime News.
How you doing,
now,
man?
Cobra, Icon said you're a little under the weather tonight. What do you got going on? Just a cold, or you're actually more sick than that, or are you feeling
it's
all right?
Crazy weather in Mississippi. It's warm one day, cold the next day. It got the best of me
over
the
live?
Last couple of days. Like north of just a little north of Jackson.
Okay. So yeah, I bet it's the weather. Jason and I are in New York, and the weather's pretty much the same, 2 feet of snow and ice cold. So I kind of don't know how it's like where you're at. But
yeah, we never see snow around here.
We've been breaking records here. It's supposed to be 55 here the next 3 days. We have an average
which is unusual.
Temperature of 29 right now, usually.
Huh. Well, you see, the headquarters here, Cobra, is in New York, and you know, that's where I'm sitting. I was telling him, if you hear music in the background, apologize to me. We're supposed to have our show every Monday, but the reason why we had it Wednesday was because we had obligations and stuff that got in the way on Monday, so we're doing it here Wednesday, and I'm working tonight. So I have the music studio on one side, and I'm in the studio on this side, so if you do hear music, it's because I'm jumping back and forth.
You perform a double duty, huh?
Yeah, well, tonight. I'm usually in the cushy studio by myself, but tonight it's I got to do double duty, and it's annoying. So Cobra, Icon told me we had you on. Well, Icon told me I can't talk tonight either for some reason. Told me you were coming on with us, and just you know we had questions lined up for you. We just wanted to get to know you a little bit and sort of get to know you know how you got into wrestling. What was some of your influences and you know was there a particular superstar, a particular show or moment that you know you watched and said, "Damn, you know, I want to be a pro wrestler."
If I had to say that particular time or moment, it definitely would have to be WrestleMania 6 with Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. Had they great moment.
That's a good one.
Even though you go back and watch the match now, it's not as entertaining, but at that time. And period, you know, because back then we had VHS tapes, VCR tapes, and we just had to go rent them from the movie studio. And I can say I have watched every WrestleMania that's ever been. And I'm excited for this year, but, you know, still wait to see how it's going to phase out. But I got my start myself. I got my start from I ran into a old school guy, his name Pork Chop Cash. He's worked in Mid-South for over 40 years, and he's very popular around the Mid-South area. And with him and his son, they pulled me in, trained me, and basically got me booked, helped me get booked around Mississippi to get me started. And I've just been working from there, going this place, that place. So trying to get my name out there.
Tell us what promotion you're working for now.
Right now, I'm working with Maximus Championship Wrestling Superstars that's based out of North Mississippi, and I'm also working with DWF, which is Golden Triangle Wrestling Federation, which I'm a former champion there, and I have a rematch on the next show. So if you're definitely in the area of Alabama or Columbus, Mississippi, you definitely want to be there.
And you're going to win that
right.
title back, aren't you?
I sure plan on it.
All right. Just remember, if you need someone in your corner, you know, the icon's always ready to step in there for you.
Okay, icon, I'm going to hold you up. If I ever make it to New York,
yeah,
I'm looking you up.
Yeah. Well, he's in North Dakota, but he's the one who's far away. But and that's even far from where you're at too. So, I'm looking at this, and is there any way that we can just for the fans who maybe listening and people who go to the website and see that you're on and interested in what you're doing? What's the best way to watch one of your matches or watch you in action? Is there a way to find it on TV, on the internet, something like that?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely. I have over 100 videos on YouTube, which
YouTube, okay.
YouTube, the subscription would be CobraKing2011 without any spaces, and it'll basically bring
okay.
you right to my doorstep.
Beautiful. Well, definitely look forward to
looking
into it.
And it's some very entertaining matches on there. The fans, if they ever get a chance, it's something they definitely want to check out and see what's coming in the future.
Did you choose the name, or was the name sort of given to you when you got into the business?
I chose the name. You know, I was looking brand new into the business.
Name.
You don't have a full understanding of character.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to mm-hmm. become a character I could relate to. So I just
how many different titles have you won in your career?
In independent wrestling, I have won over 10 titles. Multiple time tag team champion, a couple of minor singles titles. I have held the AIWF World Cruiserweight title, at which I'm ready for my rematch or my next title defense, my next title run against James Anthony, which is the guy I took the title from. And he wanted to get that rematch. He wanted to get back at me for me defeating him, which, like I told him, you just find a promoter to book it. Do their job, I do mine. I will show up.
Well,
and I was the AIWF World Cruiserweight Champion again.
What is your finishing move that you have?
I call it Kingdom Come. It goes from a fireman carry to a Michinoku drive.
Wow.
And usually when I put it on someone, it's usually the end of the match.
So my question is, you know, you mentioned that you've been a tag team champion. Would you ever think of tagging with the Icon?
I had to check the Icon out. He said he liked the more manager role, but if he feel like he can get out there, oh, it's definitely worth a look.
Scott,
Cobra King.
If he has this to everybody, by the way. It's one of those things. He's just itching to get into a wrestling ring.
I understand. I mean, those be the best, the ones who come in and stick around, the ones who really dedicated to it.
Well, you know, that would be me, and I'll tell you what we could do is we could become tag team champions. I'll let you do the wrestling, and then you put on your finisher. I'll come do the cover, junk punch him in his man business, and then we'll keep the title.
Oh, yeah, we'll stay champion forever like that.
You darn right.
He's basically the jobber. Okay, basically what you're saying is that Cobra King is going to need chiropractic evaluation when he's done carrying you, is what you're saying.
Oh,
probably. Yeah. But I have 130 pounds less than I used to be.
Well, it shouldn't be that much back pain, huh?
So, is your next match going to be broadcast on the internet? Can we check the match out?
Well, usually, you know, working in independent, you don't have a lot of live screaming. Sometimes I do. Sometimes it be shows without it. But I try to keep a cameraman there, so even if we're not able to see a live screen, he'll be coming in real soon. He'll always be on the YouTube channel. So, like I said, just keep subscribe to me on YouTube. Follow the page. You always don't guarantee to see something new pop up all the time.
I think Icon's
phone died or something. He dropped off the line here. But while we have you with us, and we're definitely, what we're going to do is we're going to promote your stuff. We're going to put your YouTube page up on our page for fans to link to it and check it out. It'll be on the Off the Ropes tab. They can go on and check it out, as well as this interview will be posted and put up on the site. But Jason, do you have any questions for Cobra King while we're sort of getting to know him a little bit? Well, wait, I kind of get back on the line.
Yeah, my only real question is, like, you know, what got you? What was, like, the thing that called you towards wrestling? What made you really become a fan?
It's been a desire since I was a kid. I can remember every week in front of the television set, you know, growing up. It's always been a thing I wanted to try and do. But, you know, not knowing too many people who's already in the business, it's hard to try to break in. But as God led the way, you know, I'm just so happy to come across the right people to get me in the right places.
Amen.
It's all right. No worries. Every superstar in every promotion, from WWE all the way down the chain, they all have a favorite or a signature match that they were in that they felt either defined their career or that they had the most fun with or whatever. If you had to look back at all your long history and all the matches you've been in, what would you say probably was your favorite match of yours?
Just thinking about it, the match that I probably had the most fun with, the competitor I most had the fun with working against, would be Showtime, which was my former tag team partner, which I won numerous titles with, but we kind of started a feud outside the tag team. And, man, if you look up YouTube, you definitely want to check out one of the matches with Cobra King versus Showtime.
Okay.
Preferably the AIWF World Cruiserweight title match between Cobra King and Showtime.
When did you win your first title?
My first title I won, I started in 2011. By the end, somewhere about 2012, we had won the tag team title at a promotion called NWA TWE.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on to worked for another organization called Pro Wrestling Ego, the Pride of Mississippi. We also won tag team gold there. We're former AIWF Mid-South tag team champions. We also held the National Championship Wrestling tag team title. So, like, when I first started, tag team was basically our thing. But, you know, jealousy and envy can come from anywhere. Sometimes it's from the persons you think closest to you.
So when did you start singles competition then?
Well, I started out singles. I probably had maybe 8-9 matches singles. Then I went into tag teams. Basically, after the tag team broke up, I went right into singles competition. And I drove myself to win the AIWF World Cruiserweight title. That was around 2014. And another guy I see out there on the road that I'm very influential with, and I run across him all the time, Rodney Mack. I just want to give a shout out to Rodney Mack. What's up, Red Dog?
Well, yeah, big shout out to Rodney Mack. So when you're in the ring, what would you say? I haven't gotten a chance to see a lot of you in action. That's why I was wondering about what the YouTube was, so I can go on and take a look. But will you say you're more of a technical guy, more of a brawler, more of, you know, you're a guy who uses weapons? I mean, what exactly is your style when you get into the ring? I mean, obviously having a diverse title history the way you have, you sometimes got to switch it up depending on who your opponent is, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. But I'm more of a crowd favorite. I'm the showstopper, basically, where I go. I'm always in the main event. I always put on a good match. If I show up to come to work, you're going to be guaranteed to get your money worth. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
If we wanted to come to an event, how much would tickets cost?
usually tickets to my event run between $10 and $20. No, it's a family oriented. We try to get the family involved. It's something to do besides, you know. Most shows are, but I have been across in some barroom brawls. It depends on where the show is at. But in those barrooms, those are like fun places because your imagination is endless.
So you would say you're a face then. You're a fan favorite. So you're one of the guys that sort of the crowd gets behind during the match. Have you been a heel character before, or have you been a face most of your career?
I started off as a heel. My heel character is like a dark place I don't like to go back to because I was a vicious heel character. I actually think I went face because the crowd got behind me so much as a heel. No matter how hard I try to get them to hate me, they just always seem to, gravitate toward me.
That sort of seems like what's going on with Roman Reigns right now. As much as the WWE is pushing for the crowd to like him, they continue to boo. So that sort of seems the case right now. So.
Yeah, to me, it's like everybody knows what you're doing. It's been the same thing for years and years and years. So as a fan that's been watching it maybe over 20 years, you see everything going on before it happens. It's like a cliche process. I think when they put Roman Reigns back in the United States division, I think that was the best thing for him. I could see fans get behind him more then, but when they did the stuff at the Royal Rumble, it kind of pushed him right back down. I almost think like I don't know if it's purposely done, but it's like they try to rub the fans wrong with Roman Reigns.
Oh yeah, no, he does. I actually, weirdly enough, I enjoy him in the ring. I think he's got sort of that powerhouse style with sort of a chaotic edge to it. And it's funny that you mentioned Edge. Icon knows what's coming now. My favorite throughout history. Obviously, I grew up on, I'm only 28, so I grew up on, Undertaker and Rock and Stone Cold and those guys.
The Attitude Era.
The Attitude, yeah, that's when I grew up. But my favorite, hands down, has to be when I was in high school and the emergence of Edge in 2006 as the Rated R Superstar. And I feel like those storylines back in the day were so much more creative, and I feel like they didn't push the storylines. Right now, I feel like they're rushing storylines through. Back then, they used to let them build for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks before they would come to a head. For what you guys do, is there a lot of action? Obviously, there's a lot of action, but is there more when you go to a show? Is there more in-ring awesome edge of your seat action, or is there some storyline, back locker room banter and microphone talk and stuff like that, like storylines that are built, or are you facing somebody different every night, or what's sort of how is your, for the fans who may be interested in looking you guys up, how is your company sort of set up that way?
Well, at first it was like, being a new guy, it seems like it was more just, different person.
Isn't whoever, yeah.
But eventually, I learned, you're supposed to get better with time. You're supposed to always seek to get better, always going to seminars, listening. Like they say, some of the best, they be a sponge in the room. So, picking up on certain things, I learned how to story tell. So, when you go to my page and you watch, 5 matches in a row. It's a story with every match leads to a big deal.
Which I'm going
to
do.
It's more like my own individual effort to try to put the story out there rather than the company actually building the story. Because usually independent, they give you a lot of freedom to do what you want to do.
Now, who comes up? Do you guys have a creative team? Or
do you sort of decide on who you want to, like what angle you want to go with stuff?
Well, you know, the promoter put it, the booker book the matches, promoter tell who he wants to, you know, go over. But
yeah.
Though for us how the match put together, I've been privileged enough to have freedom to put the matches together the way, you know, in a way I know how to. And, you know, I've been privileged enough
sure.
to tell the story myself. So, to me, I try to do a lot of storytelling. Fans gravitate to storytelling more than they do.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they love that.
Like old-fashioned wrestling, you know. So, I'm definitely I'm more of a storytelling part. And so far, when you said about Edge, I thought I was the only Edge fan back in 2006, 2007. I really thought I was. At that time, everybody was Cena, Cena, Cena. And my argument is
well,
the only guy that can beat Cena.
Well, what I like Edge, what I liked about Edge, see, I kind of like this guy already. What I liked about Edge was just the spontaneity, was the opportunistic style, and that crazy sort of a look that he had when he was getting ready for the spear, and he, you know, was running his hands through his hair, and he had that psychotic grin thing on his face. It was just chaos all the time with Edge, and that's what sort of as a kid, well, as a high schooler, that's what I was like, wow. You know, geez, like, he really did that, you know? And then when he put Mick Foley through the flaming table at WrestleMania, I was like, all right, that's it. He's my favorite. So, you know, that was one of those things. But also, though, I guess the main reason why I liked him was he won the belt in my hometown. He won his first ever title when he cashed in Money in the Bank in Albany in my hometown in New York. So that's really the main reason. And
yeah,
he named himself after one of our radio stations. Well, one of his favorite. Well, I was there live. I was in the crowd, and his name Edge came from a radio station in Albany, 103.1 The Edge, which was his favorite station when he'd be on the road. So that's why. But regardless, all that
circle,
aside,
huh? that's a great story. Everything came full circle.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But Icon and – well, Jason's okay with it, but Icon sort of gives me some crap about it. And then when Dave couldn't make it tonight, but Dave is another one of our hosts who gives me some crap about Edge. He's an HBK guy. Edge's is –
there's a lot of those. It is a lot of those.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of those. Icon's a big Scott Hall guy, which
– And Mick Foley.
I'm with it, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall. And Mick Foley. Yeah, well, you'll kind of look like Mick Foley, that's why. But I'm with it. But – a couple more questions here because we do have a modified show tonight due to time restraints. So I kind of I cut you off before. I know it's true. Well, I know that you were we want to rest his vocal cords too. I know he's a little under the weather. I cut you off before accidentally because I have music in one ear and the show in the other. Icon, you said you had a question for him or you were starting to ask him something.
Yeah. What has been your who's been your biggest rival? Who's been the guy that you've had the most battles with?
That would have to be Showtime, my former tag team. Probably actually my little brother. And we started a tag team together. And you can tell through the story how the jealousy played out. I mean, we got over 3 years of pounding each other. They always been my favorite match. You know, they say you get to hit your brother a little bit harder than you hit anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. No, is he actually your brother? Like
yeah.
In real life? Oh, okay.
Yes, he's
okay.
My biological brother. I hate to admit it, but yeah,
and
he is.
Now, what's your win-loss record against him?
Oh, it started off when he was getting upper hand when we first started off. Well, over the last 3 years, I think I may have won 20-2.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you've been really taking it to him then. But
yeah.
like a big brother supposed to though.
Oh, definitely.
So like during family gatherings and you let him win at Scrabble and Parcheesi though, right?
My argument is that I beat him majority of the time. His argument is that he took the title from me. And I have never taken the title.
And you can't say much to that. You can't say much to that.
It's almost like the pay man.
Have you ever been tempted to
argue?
Well, you ever been tempted to like spine buster him through the table on Thanksgiving or something? Just in front of the family?
Right
just Just put him just put him through the table on Thanksgiving. Just for show.
Oh, I did it on his birthday one day, one year.
Because he tried to take the last piece of the cake, right?
Oh yeah, he had a mouthful of that day. We actually were booked to work an event one of the nights of his birthday, and whew, I put it on. I think we worked a screen fight that night. I put it on there. He was everything I get my hands on.
So, I guess the last question would be.
Clover, before you go, though, we are going to record a little promo that you can do for us that we'll play back at a later time when we have commercial breaks and everything. And your line is, hey, this is the Cobra King, and you're listening to Off the Ropes on Overtime.News. That's your
okay.
line. I'll count you down, and then I'll have you say that. Are we ready? Chris, are you ready? You got the recording on.
I'm always ready.
All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, fans, you are listening to Cobra King, and we're on Off the Ropes on Overtime.News.
Now, I don't know if it's a Southern. I don't know if it's a Southern thing or what it is with the accent, but there was just a certain swag to that I really liked. So that was cool. it's cool. I like the accent. That's awesome. So what we'll do is we'll post that up. This interview is going to be on the website if you want to go check it out. And we're going to put a link to your YouTube. If this is cool with you, we're going to put a link to your YouTube matches and promotions attached to the show link. So when people click on the link to read the description of the show, they will then be able to go to your YouTube, right to your YouTube page, and check you out a little bit about, and check out your matches and things like that. And then we're going to use your recording there. Every superstar that we've had on, we've done this with, we're going to use them for commercial breaks, not just for this show, but for all of the shows on the network. And we're going to, put it in as one of those, little 10-second, we'll have our, please wear your seatbelt and drive safe commercial, and then this is Cobra King, you're listening to Off the Road, blah, 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 like one of those filler ads, and then as well as commercial breaks during the show. So it's a good way to get promotion. I mean, we're getting, anywhere from 8 to 10,000 clicks on the website and, triple-digit listeners live every week. So, it's good promotion, it's good stuff, and I'm sure that there's people out there YouTubing your name right now. So, One last time, just give them the YouTube tag, and we'll let you rest your
one
course for a little bit.
Too.
Oh,
okay,
sure.
One other question.
Hit them real quick, Icon.
Okay, of course, this is just for the ego in me. Did you like that card I made for you?
Oh, definitely. King of Wrestling. You'll see it as a profile picture somewhere down the line.
Well, he can make a whole bunch of them. You can send him and throw him into the crowd at your show or something if you want. Or you can use him as autographs and sign them for people if you want. He'll make you a whole bunch and send them. He's good with that. But he's our resident card maker. In fact, that might be actually kind of cool to do that. And what we're gonna try to do is get you guys as much promotion as possible, as well as we'd love to have you on again at some point. Maybe when you have your title match again, when you are the champion, come on that way and talk to us.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely love to have you. And it's been real. It's the Cobra King. It's a wrestler that you may not have known or you may have known, but either way, you're gonna know him because we're gonna promote the hell out of him. And it's our guest on Overtime.News and Off the Ropes. So again, Cobra, thank you again for joining us, taking time out of your night when you're not feeling good to join us on the air here on this modified special Wednesday edition of Off the Ropes.
And I'll call you in a couple of days, and then we'll arrange for you to send the autographs, and I'll send you some goodies too. And then I won't call you all the time, but now that you and I are great friends and you're a fan of the Icon, we got to stay in touch.
Oh yeah, definitely, Scott.
Also, Cobra, just let me know if you need a restraining order or something. Let me know, and I'll get something. You know, if he's calling you, texting you too much, just let me know. So
no problem.
Anyways, so that was Cobra King, everybody, and you know, you are listening to. And again, if you're going to hear music in the background, I do apologize. I'm going into the other studio, but that was Cobra King, and this is Off the Ropes. This is Overtime.News, and we'll see you guys on Monday.
It's been a pleasure.
Actually,
Overtime,
wait a minute.
News.
Where is it? There it is. We'll see you guys.
New world order.